If you let the virus protection expire on your computer, it lets you know. It lets you know often in some cases because it's important to keep the stuff you don't want out of your computer. Things are a bit different in the happy, breezy, rainbow emoji friendversary land of social media. You are generally less likely to see reminders to be careful with your information there. So here comes our reminder from Tom Kelly, who's the president and CEO of ID Experts based in Portland. He recently published a set of concerns about social media on the website Morning Consult, and he joins us by phone from Portland. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. How are you today, Jeff?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us. It seems like every couple of months we get somebody from social media testifying, either coming to Congress to answer for issues with security or just making announcements and news releases about it. But it's become a fairly regular thing, hasn't it?
Sure has. Sure has. And, you know, it's not just testifying. It seems that a regular thing for any of your listeners is to open up the paper, go online, read the news, and hear about a new breach or a new disclosure of a lot of personal information from one of the social platforms or even from any of the large companies that we've seen breaches occur at. It's been constant.
And these are significant breaches. I mean, I just before it finally shut Google Plus down, Google admitted that Google Plus had the information for something like 500 million of its users compromised. How do such things happen in layman's terms?
In layman's terms, when we first started really putting in security to protect data, to protect information, we went from literally the locked file cabinet, you know, we all knew about that, to a locked door, you know, inside a secure room, and it just kept, and then when it gets to the, became digitized in the computer age, we built all the kinds of different electronic walls around data that you needed passwords or other kinds of access to get through. And those perimeter defenses continue to improve and put, you know, more and more and kind of stronger, better, tighter restrictions. Now, over time, it's become pretty clear to everyone in the security world that it's not a question of how do you prevent access to data. It's how quickly can you identify an inappropriate intrusion? Because as much as we have incredibly bright and talented people building these protective walls and protective systems, we have a lot of bright and intelligent people who are finding avenues through. And if data is going to be accessible and usable, you know, there's always going to be a way to get into it, no matter how well you protect it. If it's going to be accessible, i.e. not completely locked off to everybody, there are going to be avenues where people can find obscure ways and also just by human error, people leaving passwords unattended, laying on desks, you know, systems on that. So there's a whole variety of ways because we're air breathers, we're human, and errors are going to occur.
Well, and it seems like just by trying to make sure that our own access to our information is easy and then through social media to provide some information to our friends that we loosen up just a little bit.
That's exactly right. Just think of our password protection where you and I, you know, for a long time, when people first started coming up with their passwords, how common was it they'd use the name of their dog or a combination of their kids' names or, you know, some combination of their birth year, their anniversary. I mean, all these things which are somewhat readily identifiable. And then we started going on social media, these platforms, as you said, which would be, hey, let me share a picture of my new baby or this is little Bobby or Jane playing soccer, you know, but it's expanded now to essentially be telling, you know, not only just our friends, but the world, some of the most intimate details of our lives.
So let me wonder, do people involved in internet security like yourself just avoid social media?
Everybody's got different perspectives on it. I use social media to stay in contact. Most 90% of my contact is with my family. So I can see pictures of, my children, my grandkids, things like that as they're moving around. It's kind of, you know, I enjoy that, and that's terrific. I have some social media platforms in business that I might utilize more, but still I am very, very cautious about that which I share. Very, very cautious. I am more of a consumer than I am a provider.
Okay, so you're going to look at people but not be looked at as much.
When I say look at people, I'll be looking at very selected people. I mean, literally, when I think of friends, you know, my friends in social media, somebody will come up and say, well, geez, I have, 5,000-10,000 friends. I'm not that fortunate. I'm not that popular, I guess. But I do have a fewer group of friends, and those are the people that I find, you know, that are literally close to me personally. And that's where I have that.
Social media security, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange with Tom Kelly, the president and CEO of ID Experts based in Portland. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Questions, comments, ideas about how to make our information safe when we stick it out there in the world, or maybe that's part of it, how you stick it out there in the world. We'll get to that. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So the first heading in your recent op-ed piece at Morning Consult, identity theft will explode. In 2019, you see it hasn't yet.
Oh, I guess it's all a matter of a degree. So let me give you some examples of why I say that. First of all, if you look back over the past couple years, what are the examples we have? Let's go. Most recently, we've heard about the Facebook breach, and that involved somewhere between. It started off at 40,000 accounts that were breached. I won't get into the details of exactly how, but then it grew to like 30 million. And of that 30 million, 14 million of the people's users, their location, seriously, their physical location, relationship status, their religion, search histories, all kinds of personal information, phone numbers, email addresses, all this was accessed. Shortly after that, the Alexa-powered Facebook, app that allows you to video portal inside a house. So think of this now. First, you get all this data being compromised, and now Facebook is going to introduce into your home an opportunity to view one another. Now you can conjure up all kinds of wonderful ideas of how that might expand, privacy impact. We also had the Marriott breach, which had, somewhere around 500 million Marriott and Starwood customers impacted around the world with their phone numbers and credit cards and passport numbers, dates of birth. That was the Marriott Starwood breach this past year. We also had the Equifax one, which came in a year earlier, which had, probably half of the American people were impacted on that. You put all these together, and you're getting this incredible compendium of information that is being accessible now for, people who are operating in not good ways to assemble full profiles of you, a complete profile ranging from financial information to personal information. And the personal information becomes important. You can ask me why it becomes important in creating false identities and getting passports. In fact, you can go onto the dark web and you can buy a Social Security number for $3 and probably $100, maybe around there, can get a full set of personal data, which would allow you to create a false passport or, making false insurance claims, committing, blackmail against the individuals, applying for loans, fraudulent tax returns. I mean, these are all, and I'm not just, these are not things that saying, well, it could happen. These things that are happening. So that's what makes me say that as we go into 2019, all this data that has been assembled by parties that may not be looking after your best interest is now going to be accessible, and we're going to see an increased amount of identity theft take place.
We have a call here from Jamie in Medford, who is asking probably the most important question of the day. Go ahead, Jamie. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tom Kelly.
Morning, Jeffrey. Well, Tom, here's the thing. Do you happen to know of a website or some other access where there's sort of a corporate and company clearinghouse for those that have been hacked? Because everybody should know this. If they deal with these blackmailers and they pay them under the table, so to speak, they pass the losses along to their consumers, their customers. And if you do have that, I'd appreciate it. And, Jeffrey, I'll just take the answer off the air.
All right. Thanks for that, Jamie. I'm not so sure about the second part of that. But, Tom, the first part, I mean, it's like with the Equifax thing where you could check and see if your stuff was compromised. Is there a place to go to find out if you think your information is out there against your will?
Absolutely. First of all, you can go to Equifax, and they'll have the Equifax side will lead you there. But there is a site called Have I Been Pawned? Have, H-A-V-E-I, B-E-E-N, been pawned, P-W-N-E-D, H-A-V, have I been pawned, P-W-N-E-D.com. And you can start looking in there. That is a site that is, in fact, that does a reasonable job or at some level of effort to identifying information that has been pulled out of there. But if you're an active user in any of these accounts, if you're an active user at Facebook, if you've gone to Marriott, Marriott had an outreach where they, in fact, were communicating with people because they had to put into impact some kind of identity protection services for them. You should assume that you've been impacted. And so my recommendation to Jamie and any of your listeners are, we can talk about all the things we're hoping that companies will do to self-regulate, and if not self-regulation, what we'll see out of government. But I would suggest that you do things like turn your FaceTime off on your phone settings. When you're not using it, turn it off. To make sure that your password hygiene is really good. And what does that mean? That means changing your passwords on a regular basis. Changing them and making them reasonably difficult, making them intelligent. You got to figure out a place to store them, that they're accessible when you forget them. It is not laying on top of your desk, either at the office or in your house. You want to figure out a place to store them. There are password vault services, which may well be the best place to store them today, even though that those theoretically could be compromised. But the fact is, no matter what you do, you do need to change those passwords regularly. I would also be cautious about the information I put on social media, the stuff I put on out there. Be aware that it's available. If you have an Alexa, change the wake word. The wake word is, if you say Alexa, it starts recording and looking to help you. Maybe change it to a word only you know, and that's available in the Alexa guidelines on how to do that. These are various ideas, and then maybe buy an identity protection service, which is relatively inexpensive, and I think increasingly are going to become almost like health insurance. You ought to have it.
Tom Kelly's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, president and CEO of ID Experts based in Portland. We're talking about protecting your identity because he does see identity theft skyrocketing in this year and partly through social media. Join us on the Exchange with your questions and comments, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I typed in the address. I went to Have I Been Pawned. There's no A. It's a P-W-N-E-D or pawned, as some people refer to it. And I must say, I'm feeling a little nervous about putting my email address in here just to find out if I've been compromised.
Yeah, you know something? First of all, I don't want to get, when I start talking about this, and even among my own family, they say, you almost get to the point you can make everybody paranoid. And I said, well, that's not my intent. The fact is, I'm not saying the social media platforms are bad. To the contrary, they provide a lot of terrific value to us. They allow us to stay connected with people. They also allow goods and services, products that we're interested in, to be marketed to us. I mean, some of us want that availability. If I'm an active skier, okay, and if in fact I share ski information amongst my community, and you'll find that, am I happy that somebody shows me some of the newest technology, some of the greatest new products that would make my skiing experience better? Probably. That's a pretty benign area. On the other hand, if I'm a Portland couple that's talking about something in the privacy of their home that they didn't think was being recorded by Alexa, and that inadvertently somehow got emailed to some of their contacts, that conversation, well, that's a problem. Absolutely. And we have to start thinking about all these devices that we've introduced into our lives and what they can do. I'll make one other comment, if I could, that it used to be that we worried about, in the horrible scenario of 1984, that there would be a big eye in our room watching us, and it was the government controlling us. Now those eyes are coming from companies that we are the product for which they make money. How they drive their revenue models, how they drive their profit models, are to monetize our information. Monetize what we do on social media, monetize everything we do because that's how they generate their advertising dollars. So we might think about that.
Yeah, that we are the product. If you're not paying for something, you are the product.
Absolutely.
As has been said. Now, so after several rounds of breaches, and you went through the litany from Marriott to Facebook, why does it seem like there are no improvements over time? I mean, why does this keep happening, particularly with social media?
I think there's two reasons. First of all, the actual ability, you know, technology expands rapidly. And that allows you to protect data, but also the expansions in technologies and capabilities also allows you to circumvent. If in fact, you know, it's built by anything built by what I call humanity, there's probably going to be something that humanity can build to circumvent that. And that's just, and our technologies have shown us that over the ages. So I think then there has to be some level of common sense that you put in place. Now, first of all, I would prefer to see the social media companies take ownership and be a lot more transparent about exactly what they do with your data. That's becoming more and more the case because of shows like yours and the dialogue in the communities about these breaches. People are understanding the information they put out there is usable and is accessible. They haven't really put together exactly how it can be done in a really harmful way to them, but that's growing. That understanding is growing. So that is why we don't see we haven't seen a great change yet, but the dialogue is underway. Europe has introduced GDPR, which is the General Data Privacy Regulation set of rules, which make companies communicate transparency to their users about what they can do with their data and what they're going to do with it. California now has a new set of guidelines that, in fact, will go into effect this year that will be similar to what's going on in Europe, which will demand that companies that do business in California, regardless of where they're headquartered, need to protect data and privacy and communicate with their customers. So we're seeing more movement in this area.
But at the moment, it sounds like nationally in the United States, our regulation is not even close to what Europe is doing with the GDPR.
Not even close. But you know, Europe has had a focus on privacy much. Oddly enough, much stronger than the U.S. for a long time. And I think a lot of that goes back, certainly in Germany, it goes back to the horrendous abuses that took place during World War II. And so there has been almost ingrained, and that was true throughout all of I think, the European Union, that there was a greater sense of privacy, of protecting one's personal information. And not to get too philosophical here, but I think you could almost say one of the great hallmarks of a free society is that you have some understanding or some expectation of privacy in your life, that, you know, you can have that some things you can, in fact, say, no, this is private to me, and I want it to be private. We're getting fewer and fewer areas that you could say that.
I have a few more questions for Tom Kelly, and you may too. He is a cybersecurity expert, the president and CEO of ID Experts based in Portland. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So let's flesh out a little more of California's Consumer Privacy Act, because that will, we're talking about 10% of the country population being covered, so that should give a goose, I would think, to regulation nationwide.
I think it will, and I absolutely think that, you know, I'm in and out of Washington on a regular basis, so I know that there's an increased dialogue there, and this is both in Republicans and Democrats. This is this is kind of one of those dialogues that seems to go across that there seems to be a general agreement that, boy, this is something that needs to be addressed, and so I do believe that GDPR and what California has done. You're going to start seeing a push for a national set of regulations. And what do the regulations do? If you think of what European GDPR regulations do, they do two big things. The first thing is they say companies need to be transparent. They have to tell you what they're going to do with your data and the kinds of information and how they're going to essentially advertise to you. Google recently just got fined $80 million, which for Google, that's, you know, like you and I getting fined, you know, 50 cents, I don't know. But they got fined $80 million because the European Union said that they were not being sufficiently transparent on how they were going to push advertising to their consumers. Literally, the kind of advertising and how they were going to, the methodology that they were going to push ads. The other, transparency on how they're going to communicate with you and what they're going to do with your information to advertise and to, you know, push things at you. The second part of the GDPR is that there has to be the ability for an individual to erase their history on a social platform or on an account. Any account that has any place they've logged in and stored information, there's got to be a methodology that you can, if you decide you want to erase everything, you can do that. And then, of course, there is the notification requirements that say in the event that information has been breached, you need to notify people very rapidly. So those are the three kind of main provisions. There's others, but that's the key. California has the notification piece, and it also has the transparency piece. I do not believe it has anything in it that says that demands the ability to erase your history.
All right,
but
so
I think that'll come.
All right, so the back tracing is the big one that seems to be lacking in the United States so far.
Right.
Tom, got time for just one more question. And you gave us some idea about digital hygiene with passwords, but if we have been hacked or had our information compromised, what do we do first?
Well, I would say you go to first of all, change if you have been hacked, first thing you do, change your passwords. That's the very first thing you do. Change your passwords and make sure you go in and check and see whether or not anything that has been compromised. Go view your own individual information. So change your passwords, number one, first foremost thing you can do, and change it rapidly. Second thing I would do is I would get a hold of, I would get an identity protection service. Some of them have pre-existing conditions, as they call it. If you've already been hacked, they don't cover it up to that. For example, our company is MyIDCare.com. If you've been hacked, we cover you. You just call us. If you're already been hacked, we start going to work to restore you.
All right, so start making yourself whole quickly is the
basic idea.
Tom Kelly, President and CEO of ID Experts, thank you so much.